Actually, the first reading was a bit longer than it should have been. When I spoke to Alistair, he said he had 16 verses in Titus 2, and there was only 15, and I actually was 1 to 5, so you had a double bonus on that score. We'll just have a quick, if we can just pop Chrissy on the there again. I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about Chrissy. I mean, kind of the almost inspiration for this morning came through listening to a podcast where we heard Chrissy sharing her story. We've actually discovered a podcast. There's a guy called Simon Gilbo, and there is a podcast called Inspired. So if you go online and you put down Inspired and you write down Simon Gilbo, his surname is spelled G-U-I-L-L-B-A-U-D, you know. And he actually spent many, many years in Burundi. And just a few days ago, we discovered that one of these was a testimony from Chrissy. And so we listened to that story. So you can listen to Chrissy telling her own story. But towards the end of it, she said this. She said, "You can do without food for maybe 40 days, or you might just survive even longer. You can do without water for about 3 days, but hope, you can't do without hope. You can't live without hope at all." And I just found myself saying, we need to be people who have hope in our lives. And in part of her testimony is back in this refugee camp in Burundi. And Chrissy went in there on many occasions because so many of her children came from the refugee camp. And she was there one day, and there was an older man there. And she went over to talk to him. And actually his face was shining. And he just said, and she said, "Well, tell me your story." He said, "Well, my family have been, they've been killed in this genocide." And she said, "Well, how are you doing?" And he said, "I'm doing okay." He said, "When Jesus is all you've got, you realize Jesus is all you need." Which is an amazing statement made by this man whose face was shining, who in human terms had lost everything, but he had Jesus inside. And so I just found myself when thinking about today, just thinking about this whole sense of hope. And it's something that we just need to live with every day at a time. I mean, our world is in a mess. And everything around us is, we listen to the news, well, it's a painful thing to hear all the killing and everything that's going on. And with the things that we have been through over the last number of years with this COVID stuff, you know, many people think that it's been robbed from their lives has been hope. And so I just found myself going to the scripture. And the first scripture that we read, I need to put my glasses on. Anno Domini, I've had cataracts. So if you remember from times past, you say, well, he used to wear glasses. No, I don't wear glasses anymore, except when I need to read. And so here we go. But I want just to take you back to Romans chapter 5, where we started. And it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And kind of point number one is hope for today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There are what I call the birthright of a believer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's the right of every believer to know that they have peace in their hearts every day. I mean, life can, there's some terrible things happening in life. And yet, in the middle of everything that goes on, God gives his peace and he gives us his hope that he's with us as we go into the future. And then it says here that we have into the grace by which we stand. So, first thing is to get peace, but the grace of God comes upon us, which means we receive forgiveness, we receive acceptance, we have our lives set free from the things in the past. And I'm just thinking back to a man who some years ago, we worked in Sussex, lived there for a number of years, and our family and another family got quite close together because our eldest son and their eldest son became friends. And Tim and Jenny Sesman were friends of ours and their children, and we all interacted together. And of course they were challenged. We were living in a Christian centre and they were challenged by the faith that we had. And I remember talking to Tim and sharing with him the gospel. I remember one night I spent quite a long time talking to him about putting his faith in Jesus. And at the end of my conversation, I just thought, well, he's ready to pray. And he said, when I'm ready, I'll tell you. And it was on a Guy Fawkes night where all the family were there. We were having fireworks and a bonfire. And Tim came up to me and he said, I think I'm ready for that talk. And kind of took me by surprise. So we got together a few days later and we prayed together. And Tim received Jesus into his life. And that was great. And then we used to have a summer camp, and Tim had been a film cameraman for the BBC. So with this big summer camp, he came and he did a video, and so he had this kind of shoulder-held camera. I mean, nowadays everything is small, but in those days it was a chunking bit of kit on your shoulder. And when he finished the camp, his shoulder was in a bit of a mess. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, what happened? He said, well, I was at this Christian camp and I took this film. He said, you? He said, you become a Christian? He said, yes. He said, what difference did it make? And he said, my guilt was gone. And I found that phrase really quite amazing. He said, when I came and gave my life to Jesus, all the guilt of my past had gone. So we have joy. Grace means that there is no guilt. But it then also says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so when I say hope for today, you know, we wake up in the morning and we have a day ahead of us, or we have a week ahead of us. And it says we have hope in the glory of God. And I just want us to kind of stir up within us as hope for today. Each day, God wants to give us a real sense of his hand upon our lives. I mean, Joyce and I, one of the things that we do as we pray together day by day is really thank God for his faithfulness, thank God for his blessings, thank God for his help and his provision, because unless you walk into life with hope, You can't live without hope, as Chrissy said. We probably can just pop the picture down now. So, okay. But I just want to really encourage you just to take hold of that hope. I mean, it says in the rest of the verses, it says, not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And that verse says, you know, even though there's difficulties, as we just move through those difficulties, the fact is this, that the hope that God has given us, it does not disappoint us. And because he's poured the Holy Spirit into our hearts, there's something alive in our lives every day. And my prayer today is that if there's a sense of the challenges and the difficulties of life, that kind of hope has kind of drifted away. My prayer is this, that as each day comes, as you thank God for his faithfulness, thank God for his provision, thank God for his safety and his care, that hope will rise within you, so that each day is a day with joy and hope. I mean, I just remembered now, we have a very good friend who has just, he's gone to heaven in the last month or so. He's a guy called Don Double. And he was 90, and he had lost his quality of life, so everybody's rejoicing that Don's in heaven and not on earth any longer. But Don used to have a phrase which he would say to people, it's the greatest day you've ever lived. This is what he'd say. Kind of. So if you were in a kind of camps and things, and we went to his camps and we got to know Don very well. And, you know, he'd come into this camp and there would all be these people there, and he'd say, now, people, it's the greatest day you've ever lived. Now, I found that quite challenging. And sometimes I kind of think, oh, I mean, is that just a phrase? Is that just a kind of a catchphrase? But he believed it, and every time you met Don, there was a real sense of the joy of God, the presence of God, the peace of God. Yes, he would say, today is a day, well, it's the greatest day I've ever lived. So that's the kind of, it's hope for today. And the other scripture I want to read in Titus is the one about hope for tomorrow, hope for the time ahead. So let's just get through to my Titus scripture here a second, and we'll read it. So, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teach them to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing. Now, we have hope for the future, and God has his hand upon our lives. And there's times when situations arise which are really very challenging. And you just say, in those challenging situations, it's very, very easy to not see what's down the road. We actually have a grandson. His name is Reuben. And about 10 years ago, he was riding a bike. He kind of drove into a car, broke his leg and banged his head, and it created an epileptic issue in his life. So he began to have epileptic fits and all the rest of it. And I mean, it was extremely challenging. And it was, you know, for our daughter and son-in-law, you know, Reuben's kind of battle with this whole thing was a real tough thing. It was tough for the family. And you just think, you know, but we kept praying for Reuben, and we kept, well, the Lord gave us a scripture, and he said, it's a scripture in 1 Peter, and it says, it talks about, after you have suffered a little while, the Lord himself will restore you and make you firm, strong, and steadfast. And so as we have been praying for Reuben over these number of years, that scripture, after you have suffered a little while, the Lord himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And we have seen things get better. They're not completely, but he... We saw Reuben, first of all, his faith began to be... I mean, sometimes these kind of teenage kids, they can be a bit sort of headstrong and, you know, where is their faith? They've been brought up in family where we've had faith. But we saw Reuben, his faith restored. He realized he needed the Lord. He realized he needed to strengthen his faith, and he did. And he never lost a sense of his own future. And then the Lord led him to find a wife. He found a young lady called Maha, who is from Pakistan, and actually they found each other online. But she is a strong believer, and they just found that they're, you know, they share this common faith. And we, when we met Maha, we just thought, hey, that is amazing. God has been so good. So a couple of years ago, Reuben and Maha were married. And you think, you know, Reuben has got some of these epileptic issues. You know, how is Maha going to handle that? Well, Maha's a physiotherapist, and her whole family, who are very strong believers, are mainly in the medical profession. They just had no issues about Reuben and his struggle. Just didn't feature. And since he's married, these big tonic colonic things, he's had none. But a month ago, Reuben and Maha had a baby daughter. And so we now have two great-grandchildren. And we have a little boy belonging to a granddaughter called Gillian. And now Reuben and Maha have this little girl called Ophelia. And she's about a month old. And we haven't yet seen her. But the reason I tell you that story is that Reuben never has lost, he realized that God has his hand on him for the future. And we went up to see them a few weeks ago, just before the baby was born. And Maha was due to have another 2.5 weeks before the full term of this baby. So Joyce, with some experience on this thing, looked at Maha and said, Maha, you're not going to hold that baby inside you for another 2.5 weeks. That baby is on its way quite soon. And the 5 days later, this little baby arrived, and she's doing great things. But, you know, there is a future. And we need to see that whatever's going on in our lives, God has a good plan, and if we will take hold of that plan, He is there to bless it. Yesterday, we drove down to Sussex to a wedding, and this is a story of God's hope and God's redemption, and God is always willing to redeem. We have a friend, her name is Pam, and 30 years ago, her husband died very suddenly. We just had a phone call in the morning, and we discovered that he had just had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night, and he had died. We jumped in the car and drove down to Sussex to, we were living down here, to see Pam and to pray with her and to be alongside her. And we've just watched Pam really kind of draw in God's strength, and she's blessed her kids and served their grandchildren and been part of a church down there in Sussex. And we always remember birthdays. And so Joyce's birthday is on the 7th of March, and my phone rang, and it was the 6th of March. And this Pam, you know, your phone tells you who's talking to you. So I said, well, I thought, well, she's a day early. So I said, hi, so I want to talk to Joyce. So I handed the phone over to Joyce, and Joyce says, Pam, you're a day early, my birthday's tomorrow. She says, I'm not talking to you about a birthday. She said, I've fallen in love. And the amazing thing is that the church she's been part of for 20-odd years, the leader of that church is a man called David, and about 8 years ago, his wife died, and Pam has been part of that church, and over these 30 years, there's never been a sense that she's kind of, we've seen Pam, we know her, she hasn't kind of saying, you know, I'm trying to find a husband. She's served, and she's served her family, she's served the church. And this David, he was retired, the pastor, but actually at the beginning of the year, round about Christmas time, Pam actually fell over and broke her wrist. And so this former pastor of a church was only living down the road, and she couldn't drive because of her wrist. And David used to go down the road and visited Pam. And just, you know, my former, you know, one of my church members. And as the days went by, these two actually have fallen in love. They're in their 70s. And yesterday we were at a very joyful, triumphant wedding down in Littlehampton. And we saw how the way God had brought David and Pam together. And I just thought, praise the Lord. You know, hope does not disappoint. Because God is a good God, and He has our future in His hand. And so we rejoiced yesterday to be with David and Pam. Also, in it comes to hope, the whole sense is when we receive eternal life, that we know we have a life that will never end. I mean, over the past year, year and a half, I mean, a number of folks who've died that we have been to funerals. I mean, I suppose when you get to the age that we are, people aren't going to live forever. But if I go back into my childhood, you know, my parents were believers. And my father was always absolutely, you know, strong in the fact that, you know, when somebody dies, we just say, they've gone to be with the Lord. Or, they've been called home. Now, those are very expressions that we use. Because there's never, when a person knows the Lord, we know that we are together this life, but when life ends, we are going to be with the Lord forever. And we live in a world where people are trying to keep everybody alive as long as they can, almost as if there's only quality in life here. No, if you know the Lord, our life never ends. We live this life for as many years as God gives us, and then we are going to be with the Lord. And, you know, when you look at grief, both my parents are in heaven, and I remember when they died, and when we were at their funeral, there was just a great sense of thanksgiving for the life they'd lived, blessing for the way that they had been parents to me, and, you know, my father and mother. I thank the Lord for godly parents, for folks who loved me and cared for me. But when they went to be with the Lord, yes, there's a loss, but it isn't something which really is heavy. It's a whole sense of we know where they are. And, you know, people who find the Lord, and there's a great sense of the hope for the future. I mean, one of the funerals I was been part of in the last year or so is a lady who was part of our church. Some of you may know Joan Williams. There was Joan and Brian. They ran the grocery shop down in Kongsbury, in the precinct, many, many years ago. And we moved down to this area. We'd been living in Sussex. We moved to this area. My brother-in-law, who was Richard Salmon, who was the vicar of St. Andrew's Kongsbury, he just said, "Would you come and preach at our healing service?" So we'd been away ministering abroad, and we came back, and I gave a message on the healing service. And then at the end of that time, Joyce and I and Helen and Richard and Peter and Jean Hancock, who you might also remember, we came and stood behind the communion rail. And the first person who came to kneel in front of us was this lady called Joan Williams. Now, she was a very small, petite, you know, she was just pint-sized. And Joan comes and she kneels in front of us and she just looks up and so we said, "Well, what can we pray for?" She said, "I want to know Jesus like John does." Her son was John and had recently come to know the Lord, and she'd seen a transformation in this son. "I want to know Jesus like John does." And we prayed with Joan, and she just was transformed by the power of Jesus, and her life was always lived with a great sense of joy, and she knew that that life that she had received was going to never end. And at the funeral in St. Andrews, I gave the message there, and I told them the story of when Joan met Jesus, and how that we're going to be united together with the Lord in the air. And I just said to the congregation, I said, well, I pointed back to the communion rail. I said, "Now, on that corner there, Joan met Jesus and her life was changed." And I said, "Jesus is the same today. And if you want to know Joan's Jesus, you can. You don't actually need to kneel there," but it was just a great sense. And so, hope for eternity. We want to be people who live with that sense that we're going to be with the Lord forever. And I just love that Thessalonian scripture which says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those are triumphant, joyful words. And so my heart for us all today is hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. And if you've lost hope, today is the day hope can be restored. And if things have been tough, God is the God who has a future for every single one of us. And I thank the Lord that I live with that hope in my heart, day by day. And even there are tough things in life, God is still with us. He still has our future, and we will be together with him in the glory when life down here has ended. Let me just pray. Father, I just thank you for your love for us. I thank you, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. And we have come by grace through into the hope, which is a strong hope. And the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts just to affirm that hope. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. And Lord, I pray if anybody has lost that hope, Lord, I pray that they will be restored, that hope will fill them with your love and your peace, and that we will know that because of Jesus, there is hopeless is not a word that is in our vocabulary, because the hope we have in him sustains us and will motivate us into the future and will keep us for all eternity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.